Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a privilege it is to be back in the presence of the Lord in the house of God tonight. How many of you enjoyed service here on Wednesday night? God comes in the time of trouble. He shows up every time, don't he? Do you love him with all your heart? Give him a big hand clap of praise. He means the world to you. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend. How we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute or two, let's look at our prayer request tonight. We want to pray for Ryan and Andrew Kennedy. We'll remember them. The Lord give them traveling mercy. They're leaving Washington, D.C. late tonight, be headed home. So they're asking that we would remember those brothers in prayer. We want to remember Sheila Starbuck needs healing in her body. Let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Helen Littleton really needs a healing touch from our Lord. She's in very, very bad health. So this... we want to remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Sister Joanne Tessa wants to offer this testimony. I want to thank the Lord for watching over me yesterday. She took a fall and was hit on concrete, but she wants to praise the Lord that He took care of her. And so just praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The family of Millie Burkett from Kentucky requests prayer for herself and her family. Their daughter Brenda passed away unexpectedly this morning around 11 o'clock. So they're asking that we would remember that family tonight as we pray. And while it's fresh on my mind, our daughter-in-law's father passed away on Thursday morning. He was 53-year-old, died of a heart attack. And they're having his services tomorrow. So if you would remember Jennifer's family, Jennifer and her family in prayer, we would certainly appreciate that. Sister Linda Jablonski wants to thank all of her dear brothers and sisters in Christ. She wants to praise the Lord that He means so much to her and has done so much for her. And she just wants to praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that testimony tonight also. Sister Nola Babb wants to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, and food during the recovery from pacemaker surgery. And she's here in the service tonight. Sister Nola, God bless you. Good to see you tonight in the service. And while I'm just recognizing folks tonight, we have a very special member of our congregation with us tonight in the service. Sister Daisy Rice is over in the fellowship hall. This is her first time to be in service in many, many months. Give Sister Daisy a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to have our sisters back in our assembly with us. Brother Mike Pierce is in the hospital. Kidney situation. They're asking that we would remember him. He's just there witnessing to people and having making the most out of his stay in the hospital. He's just praying for people and witnessing to them. So praise the Lord for that. Also, Brother Mike Pierce is asking us to pray for a man by the name of Daniel George. He had his leg amputated yesterday. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Also, Sister Martha Sacker says to please pray for Brother Kirk's mother. She is in very poor health right now, so they're asking that we would pray over that need. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Natalie, that the Lord would just be with our sister during this time. Sister Carol's sister Sharon, certainly want to remember her in prayer tonight. Well, there are just so many things we need to pray about. But aren't you glad we've got a source to go to? Aren't you glad we've got a God that's bigger than all of our problems tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him another big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good to us tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just commit these things unto the Lord. Have some folks visiting with us tonight from the Philippines, a pastor, Brother Ron Melavo. Am I close on that? I got better. I got it better, didn't I? I done good. I'm usually horrible on names. But they're here this weekend. He's a pastor from Quezon City. I hope I got that place right, in the Philippines. They're going to be singing for us. And I asked Brother Ron if he would come and pray over these prayer requests tonight. As we go to the Lord, certainly glad to have our brother and his wife with us. Give him a nice hand tonight. God bless you, brother. There's the prayer request. God bless you. Say something if you'd like to.
Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus, we truly appreciate your love for us tonight, Father. We want to glorify you and thank you for the blessings as well as the trials, Lord. And as we come to your throne of mercy tonight, Lord, have mercy, cleanse us of our iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, Lord Father. And as we have heard this prayer request, Lord God, may you come and answer every need, Lord God. Touch the sick and heal them, Lord Father. Anoint them, Father God, I pray. You are still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides all our needs according to your riches in glory. So, Lord, we come to you this evening praying that you will also bless us spiritually. Lord, use the preacher tonight, Lord, to encourage us, Lord, and to inspire us, Father, as you've always done in the past, Lord. And bless the people, Lord God. Strengthen the weak and bless the hopeless, Lord, Father. Oh, God, we just come to you for all our needs because without you, we can do nothing, Lord, Father. So with all these things, our prayer request, Lord, may you just answer every need according to their needs, Lord, Father. This we pray for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
God bless you. Brother, you'll be hearing him. He's going to greet you here just in a few minutes when they come up to sing. So let's just be looking forward to that. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us and I missed you, I apologize for that, but we're so glad to have each and every one of you here. Even you home folks look good tonight. Good to see you. Turn around and shake somebody's hand real quick while they're getting ready to receive your money tonight. Let's sing a song, Something Keeps Holding Me. Play a little bit of it while they receive the offering. Play it. Get us going.
Satan lay before me. his temptation, his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found just in time the revelation. Christ is the strength I need.
Singing too good tonight, and you're going to have to pay for that. You're going to have to sing another one, but I believe we've got the time to do it, so let's just enjoy this preliminary part of the service, because we're laying a foundation. You are laying a foundation tonight, and I want Brother Donnie to have real easy times when he's come out here to bring us the word, don't you? Let me make this announcement real quickly. All married women are invited to be at the church for a DVD presentation this Monday, July the 23rd at 6:30. So remember that. Remember that announcement. All married ladies, you're invited to be here at the church. So let's remember that. Let's just think the course of that. So much to thank Him for. We'll never, if we do it the rest of our life, we'll never catch up thanking Him for what He's already done. If He never touches you another day in your life, you'll never catch up praising Him for what He's already done. Is that right? Yeah. Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Yes, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. Of what He's done and where He brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Yes, I've got so much to thank Him for. So much.
way I need you.
We just want to stop and say
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for all you've done for me.
For everything you've done for me, Lord.
And one day I'll reach heaven's
shores. Oh, yes, we
will. Let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for.
The Lord. God bless you tonight. You can be seated, Brother Melville and his wife. They're going to come and give us a couple of songs tonight. If they ever have, they have it arranged, one or two, ever how you have it arranged, you just bless our hearts. We'll enjoy hearing you sing tonight. Give them another good hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Blessing to the bride of Jesus.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must trust. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms raise high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. For I'm sheltered safe,
yes, Lord,
within the arms of God. Walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must run. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's sweet heaven. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms raise high, the dark clouds rise, they won't
worry be, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. Amen. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Sing it as a chorus.
So let the stars raise high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Bless you.
Yes.
I would like to sing another song. You know this song? This is called Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than the hay, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare a suit dwelling place there. Oh, in that sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In that sweet by and by, shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We shall sing
on that beautiful shore. That melodious songs of the blessed, where our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessings of rest. Oh, in that sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In that sweet by and by, bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day.
Everybody sing with us.
Oh, in that sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Enjoy that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Brother Ron, God bless you. We enjoy that. It'll be singing for us again in the morning, Lord willing. So God bless our brother and sister. Brother Bill, good to have you in the service with us tonight. God bless you. Glad you're here. Let's sing a song tonight as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Did you enjoy Wednesday night's message? I tell you what, it's just so wonderful. And I know you're looking forward to tonight. I believe God's going to speak to us again. He'll give you what you have need of. I looked over Jordan. What did I see?
Coming for to carry me home.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but Elijah is not the only one that gets to ride one home.
Let's turn tonight, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Presence of God. Once again, the opportunity that's been granted to us. Granted to us. Think of what an opportunity is given to us to be able to go to church.
Amen.
It's a great privilege. I'd like to speak to you tonight on Elijah's whirlwind. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a... Are you sure about that? And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, this is the first time in the scripture that the word whirlwind is mentioned. Very fitting. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father. Can't you see why he didn't feel ashamed about asking for a double portion? He's the adopted son. Glory. My father, my father. My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. Now listen to this, and Brother Bam says this in 1961, getting in the spirit. A very beautiful type Elijah was of this day. Now listen to this, a very beautiful type Elijah was of this day. Maybe a little off the beaten line for some men who knows the Bible better than I. But I kindly believe that there will be a message in the last days. And we can say amen to that. Something like Elijah and that Elijah church-like will not die but be translated, taken up. Fire. Fire will take it up into glory. The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Glory. Hallelujah. You see why you ain't getting my Pentecost away from me? I'm talking about that original now. Fire will take it up into glory. The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for your word. Thank you, Father, for the service thus far. We could dismiss right now and say it was worth the effort to come to the house of God. Your songs sang and we've worshiped you and prayers have been made. And now, Lord God, we come to this portion of the service, the breaking of the bread of life. And I pray that you would make yourself known among us as you did to those on the way to Emmaus. When they sat at the table that afternoon and you broke the bread, and Lord God, they looked around and knew that it was you. May you make yourself known to us today by the breaking of the bread. Father, may we not hear a Kentucky hillbilly. May we not hear Donnie Reagan, some other man, but may we hear Jesus breaking the bread and speaking to us the words of life. Grant it tonight, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Brother Charlie, sure nice to see you tonight. I thought I heard you back there. Amen. Elijah's whirlwind. I'm sure some of you, since the last time that I dealt with this, have been trying to go through the scripture and probably looking through the message and trying to reckon and understand, was it a whirlwind? Was it a chariot? How was the man raptured? How was he taken up? Was it a whirlwind that took him? Yes. Was it a chariot? Yes. How can it be both? Yes. How am I going to go by form of theophany? Yes. But I will also need a beast power which will raise me to meet my theophany. Now, whenever we look at this Elijah, knowing that he is a type of the bride, not only in the form of a rapture, but in the form of his life. Now, God had used the man in many great ways, and his life is going to be given as a type of the last day people. It's amazing that Elijah laid here in the book for so many, many years. Great theologians down through time have argued and debated and said, well, you know, he really didn't go into heaven. Some of them have taught down through the church ages that he actually didn't go into heaven, but he was just carried up and set down in another place and died a natural death, and they never did actually find him anymore. But that wouldn't have been a type of me. That wouldn't have been a type of you. So God actually carried him up, because when Jesus is transfigured, you know who shows up? Moses and Elijah. Now, in this, though, is written a pattern of what God wanted to do, not only in the life of Elijah, but in the lives of those that are going to be living in the last day. Several parts about this that we'd like to look at. First part, we want to look at the chariot. Let's read this again, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Now, if you notice, the Bible here doesn't actually say that Elijah went up by a chariot of fire. The scripture says that he went up actually by a whirlwind. But we know that two people can be standing and looking at exactly the same thing. You'll find this in the parables of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And people try to compare the same parable and say there's a difference and that there's errors and mistakes in the Bible. No. But John wrote down what was outstanding to him. Mark would write down what was outstanding to him. And you take the exact same parables and, you know, trying to make it line up literary as far as by the language of the English language, it doesn't even line up at all. But different authors, as they are writing it, just after this service tonight, and you say, what meant so much to you? And say, oh, glory to God, it was this, that, and the other. And you say, Brother Jack, what meant the most to you? Describe the service in 20 words or more. And you describe the service, and you describe it, and you. Well, it'd be amazing how many different opinions that would get of exactly the same service. And you'd say, was you at the same place I was? Yeah, I was, but this is what really stuck out to me. So here, whenever the author of this writes and he says what was so outstanding to him was that by the Spirit of God that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind into heaven. Now remember, Elijah is going to be moved from a natural realm into a realm of angelic beings. He's going to be moved from a mortal realm to an immortal realm. So he needs an immortal means of transportation. Now, they had natural chariots at that day and time. Actually, a chariot would have been probably the supreme mode of transportation, because most people still walked. Actually, if you look at Israel at this time, it was only the kings and a few of the generals that even had chariots. The armies of Israel as a whole did not have masses of chariots. So King Ahab, of course, had a chariot. He was shot in a chariot. Jehoram had a chariot. Jehu had a chariot some years later. But very few people would have actually had, there was no masses of great chariots. So when they hired the Syrians to come up and they had 32,000 chariots, it was an overwhelming number. Whenever different kingdoms would come up and they would actually hire them, the different kings that had large numbers of chariots, 10,000, 12,000, 20,000, they would actually hire their chariots out to Egypt, to Babylon, to different ones. And this is the way they made a lot of their wealth. They would actually rent out their charioteers, or they would rent out their people that was good at a bow or whatever more. And this was one way that they would be able to founder and be able to enrich and enliven their kingdom. But Israel, remember, up to the time of Solomon, Israel never even had a chariot. David, whenever David went in and conquered them, one of the things that David would always do, David would destroy the chariots and David cut the hamstring of the horses that they used to pull the chariots with. But it was in the days of Solomon Solomon that they actually started building some chariots, but the chariots was not handed down to the local people until many years later. But yet God has always had a chariot. Now, if Elijah is going to be removed from a realm of mortality into an immortal realm, God must send messengers from that immortal realm that will be able to get this man ready and changed for the realm of mortality. Now watch, he's fixing to enter into a change. Now remember, it's not been that long back that Elijah had got so down and so weary and so discouraged under the juniper tree that he asked God to let him die. I imagine about right now, he's so glad God did not answer that prayer. Now you imagine if God would have answered that prayer and Elijah would have went in this poor way, he would have been died of a nervous breakdown, died of depression, died of loneliness, died because nobody cared, he thought, died because he felt like nobody was around, but God had reserved a more glorious way for this man to leave the world. Amen. Just remember, when you pray a prayer and God don't answer it in the way you think it ought to be answered, it could be he's got a more glorious answer than what you're praying for. And it could be that if you'll wait and be patient for him to answer it according to his own will, you may not see the glory on this side. You may have to wait to get over yonder, but you may see then that if he'd answered it the way you want it, it would have never brought the glory to his kingdom in the way that he desired it to be. So you imagine now this man is getting ready to cross over. Now he went in a total different way, of course, than the way Enoch did. He's going to go in a way that really reflects us in this day. Oh, Enoch had a wonderful walk with God. And Enoch, my, what a manifestation of a promise that Enoch had. But really there's more things about Elijah that you and I can relate to than Enoch, because the Bible doesn't really give us any of Enoch's faults. The Bible doesn't give us any of Enoch's shortcomings. And if you just read the silence of the scripture, it would seem as if, though, this man was an absolute perfect sinless man. And yet we know there's never been any on the earth since the fall of Adam. But yet the Bible, for whatever reason, God did not choose to disclose the shortcomings. You know, if Enoch had a temper, if he had a problem with this and that and the other, the Bible does not give us any of those things. Oh, but boy, it's sure did about Elijah. My, it shows us that he was a nervous type of a guy, that he was a guy that got all down and all worry and felt like he was the only one going. Oh, aren't you glad the Bible gives us this side of prophets? I'm so glad that this side is in the message of the hour. I understand why it makes the devil mad when you go to reading quotes like that, where Brother Bam tells us he was a man and Brother Bam made mistakes and had to repent and all that. I guess I just have a hard time struggling and understand why message folks don't believe that. And yet they say they believe every word. Well, glory, it doesn't make some of you mad. I love those quotes, and Brother Bam said I lied. I love those quotes, and Brother Bam said the Holy Ghost said to me, you're going to lay your hands on her, you told a lie. I love those quotes, Brother Buzz, because it lets me know this was a man that walked with God, and yet that man is man enough to tell us of his shortcomings. I love that quote in Phoenix in 1951 when Brother Bram said, the greatest mistake I ever made in my life is when I listened to my mother-in-law instead of listening to God. Because if it was left up to a lot of message people, them quotes would not be in the message. They would take all the humanity away from Brother Branham, but God left it in there for a reason. Folks get mad at me because I make Brother Branham a man. But hey, friend, don't get mad at me. It was God, Brother Branham's mama, and Brother Branham's daddy that made him a man, not me. I just got enough sense to believe he was. Now, notice God. Why is it then that God would let Brother Branham be another type of Elijah instead of a type of Enoch? Now, why did God allow Brother Branham to say these things and to go on? You know, it seemed like in the last couple of years that people are just about gone nuts because they're trying to look at the message and they can't tie all the dates and all this and that and the other together. And people are just having real questions about the message. You know who the fault of that is? A lot of that is preachers. Because preachers for 40, 50 years have told the people forth. Oh, this message is perfect and this message is infallible. I'll tell you one thing. And then when they go to try to look at this and looking at that and looking at that, taking all these stories and making them line up, you know, and their Brother Branham was a man just like me and you. And the quicker you realize that, the better off you're going to be. And a lot of folks are struggling right now because they've sat under preachers that have told them this message is almost like the mouth of God. That's a lie. Come on now. God don't say hain't. You don't ever find God saying hain't. God don't say the word furniture. Brother Ram did. Uh-oh. That old deity spirit here. I thought I had that thing killed out of here. Come on, children. But yet, instead of God having a man that was like Enoch, one that never, no mistakes was mentioned, no errors mentioned, no shortcoming mentioned, but it was the spirit of Elijah again that must come in the last day to get an Elijah church ready. Well, if it was the spirit of Elijah, then will not it have frailty, humanity, weakness, all that? My, to me, it's not a great miracle that God could use an infallible man to speak his word, but that God could use a mortal just like me and you, and through that mortality and through that frailty, God would be able to bring the greatest message that has ever been on the earth. Amen. Oh, glory. But now watch, Elijah, unlike Enoch, where he walked with God, and my, just so much of his human life has failed from us. But Elijah was a man like passion, like as we are. And we see his weaknesses and his frailties, and he's up and down. And he was so in touch with mortality that he needed that final little boost, as it were, to be able to make the transition from mortality to immortality. So God is going to send him down a manifestation that will help nudge him right across the stream of time. Now he's going to need it in a twofold manner. Glory. Watch this in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 16. Now remember, David received the pattern of the tabernacle by vision, by a supernatural inspiration by the hand of God. And he was able to hand this down to Solomon. David wasn't able to build the temple of God, but God allowed David to store up all the material. 3,750 tons of gold, 37,500 tons of silver, on and on and on and on, of all the cumulative material that he was able to make. He was also able to receive the pattern by divine inspiration. Now he said that God inspired him to do this. Now what is, the Bible says, by weight he gave gold for the tables of shewbread, of every table, likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups and the golden basins. He gave gold by weight for every basin, likewise silver by weight, every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims. So here is a chariot in the house of God. Swing low. Sweet chariot. Now here is the first appearing on the earth of an antitype of God's chariot of heaven. Now remember, this was revealed to David by God. So here is something now being reflected on the earth, and it will take natural material substance. It will take on gold. And yet it reflects a bigger picture from heaven. Now notice how the Bible says it's gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims. Now the cherubims actually are the chariot. The chariot of the cherubims. So the cherubims themselves are the chariot. So the chariot is angels. Now, it's not that there is the shape or the form of a chariot, and then the angels are actually sitting in the chariot, but the cherubims are actually the chariot. You understand what I'm saying? So here the cherubims are made, and their faces lean one toward another, and their wings are going out this way. But here David, by inspiration, identifies the cherubims as being a chariot. So the chariot of God was the angels of God. So God would be transported then by angels. It's all right for you to be quiet. Just don't stay quiet on me the whole service. Now, notice this. Notice what the scripture said. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight. And gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and cover the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So the expanded wings of the cherubim form what is figuratively related to as the throne of God. So here then the wings are spread out and their faces are looking one toward another, and the cherubims themselves, this forms the upper part of the Ark of the Covenant, which is the throne of God. But then the cherubim's feet, and down beneath all of that, what is that? That is the chariot of God. So God is showing that He Himself is residing on a throne. And remember, the throne has wheels, because God is not now going to permanently reside in this tent or this tabernacle, or even the one that Solomon will build, or the one that Herod will build many years later, or the one that they will restore in the second temple. Then that's why He's got wheels on this chariot, because God will move, and He did. And if they leave His program, God will roll right out and leave them sitting. And let me tell you something, Happy Valley. Our God still got wheels on Him. So don't think that you and I can lock God up in a box and we're the only one that's got Him and we're the only one going. If we don't go on with God, God will roll right on without us. So I want to roll when He rolls, don't you? Now watch this in 2 Samuel chapter 22, if you ever noticed this or not. 2 Samuel 22:10. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. So here is God now riding a cherub. Now remember, this is a symbol because it is a power. So God is seen flying through the heavens riding a cherubim. An angel. Glory. Brother Branham, could you please explain how each person's angel goes with them from birth to death? Well, if you'll notice here, it doesn't say that everybody has angels, only the elect. So how am I leaving? Same way. Cherub, angel. Notice again in Psalms 18:10, the exact same scripture, exact same wording. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. Now, notice again in Psalms 99:1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Now, so then the mercy seat overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant was called the throne of God, and the underneath part of that was God's chariot. So here the chariot of God is combined together. What is in that? The Word. So here is God enthroned over the top of the Word. Also the manna, Aaron's rod, on and on and on, which shows that the Word and the manna and the ministry is under the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. You reach in there and try to take that rod out and say He's the same yesterday and forever. Oh, no, He ain't. Not when you remove the rod. When you take the man out, that don't make Him the same. When you take the Word out, in order for Him to be the same, you got to have all them elements inside the ark. Let me tell you something. They're still there tonight. God still got His Word. God still got fresh manna. And whether you like to accept it or not, God still got an anointed ministry that are staying on the Word. Oh, Brother Donnie, preachers are falling away. That's exactly right. Preachers are. But God's got a ministry that cannot fall, because it is an extension of His own ministry. It's not my ministry. It's not Brother Amos' ministry, Brother Gene. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ Himself, ministering to the body by the Holy Ghost. So the cherubim, not the ark, is actually the chariot upon which God enters or is enthroned. So the fiery horses and chariots are symbols of God's power in battle. Now remember, in this day, this was the fastest thing they had. Is it any wonder to you then when Brother Branham preached the countdown, he updated from a horse and buggy to an astronaut? Why? Fastest thing we got. Brother, you can't put the bride in a horse and buggy. Come on, Bessie, let's go. That's Amish. That's Mennonite. That's some of them people. That ain't me. Come on, Bessie. I'm going to go so fast it'll pull Bessie's mane out as I go by. Oh, glory. I can't do it on an airplane of Pentecost. All the folks is looking for an airplane to come back. That's about right. They're just leftover Pentecostals. Woo, glory. I'll tell you, brother, I'm not looking for an airplane. I ain't looking for a horse and buggy. I'm not looking, amen, for some man to come back. But I'm looking for the astronaut, Jesus Christ himself, to raise his bride from this world in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah! Glory! Can you imagine taking a space shuttle or a rocket in this day and putting one horse in it to power it? Now you got all these instruments and all these gauges and all this stuff, and you got old Bessie down there in the stable down at NASA. So they pull the whole thing out of there, and somebody says, go get old Bess. So here comes old Bessie. She's just walking up there. I'm munching on some oats as she's coming. So, boys, we're heading out of here. I mean, we're heading out of here like a herd of turtles, huh? Whoa, we're heading out of here. Wow. And you get old Bessie down there in the engine room, and old Bessie just looks around, and she don't know what to do. Can't you understand why we got to have more than the power of Pentecost? Can't you understand in the engine room we've got to have more than Baptist theology? We got to have more than message theology. We got to have some fire that'll lift this spaceship out of here. Hallelujah. You ever seen them things take off? What is it that comes out of them engines? It ain't books. It ain't tapes. It ain't organs. It ain't churches. It ain't pianos. What is it? Fire! Fire! Hallelujah! Glory! It is that fire. And by that fire, it is pushing that spaceship thousands of tons out of there. And it's making the law of gravity turn loose. Glory! The word seraphim signifies fiery. Seraphim. Fiery. Psalms 104 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now watch. Who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers. Now we've took this from the New Testament perception and thinks it means preachers, but if you read it in the Hebrew, this is not so much talking about preachers as it does angels. That he realized in one sense of the word, when the pastor stands in the pulpit as God's servant, he is God's angel to you. Why? He is a ministering power. A ministering power. Me as a man, I ain't no angel. How in the world could I be that? There ain't no way. But if I'm called of God and gifted by God, I have a ministering spirit that comes not from my human spirit now, but it is a ministering. Every God called man has that. He has a ministering spirit. What is it? It's a gift of God, straight from the presence of God. And this is what God says about his angels. Who maketh the clouds his chariot, he said, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers, and Leo, he makes his ministers a flaming fire. So God then can take angels and make them appear as fire. You never see an angel turned into an icicle. So preachers that are icicles, well, I guess you know what that means. Now what? So seraphim represents fiery. And cherubim signifies chariot. Cherubim, chariot. So they're called the chariots of God. Notice this in Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of. Now, which are we talking about, chariots or angels? Same thing. One and the same. Same as the above. But why would you call them a chariot? It's a means of transportation. You see, there's little pockets going through the air, and they don't know what it is. Don't worry, children. One of these days, one of them will drop down and carry that home. There won't be hide nor hair nor bones left behind. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So the chariots of God are thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. He said, what's this got to do with Elijah? Everything. He said, what's it got to do with me? Everything. I'm showing you your rapture, how you're going to go. Can't you see then it's not left up to me? What can I do to compliment a ministering angel? What can I do to compliment an angel of God as a cherubim or a seraphim of a burning fire? What can I do to compliment his power? Nothing. Notice in Zechariah 6:1. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked. And behold, there came four chariots out from between the two mountains. And the mountains are mountains of brass. Now, already we see its symbols. A power of representation, a metallurgical symbol of metal. In the first chariot were red horses. And in the second chariot, black horses. In the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said to the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. But the four spirits appeared in the form of chariots and horses. Right? Now watch, Elisha, some years later, is in Dawson. 2 Kings 6:13. And he sent his servant over. Because the enemy's come up. Man, they've surrounded them. They've moved chariots in around them. They've moved all kinds of weapons in around them. So he sends his servant and said, go and spy. They sent him to search him out. Say, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And he was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dawson. So they spied him out. Found him. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city. Remember what we preached on Wednesday night? Glory. The host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Boy, how many times have I said that? How shall we do? And he answered, fear not. Oh. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now you imagine that old boy looking around and said, 1 + 1 = 2. What do you mean there's more with us? I mean, even everybody hearing the message has forsook us by this time. They're all gone. Ain't nobody else. It's just me and you. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Oh, glory to God. I wish he'd do that for us sometime, but let's skip. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
So the army of heaven has come down to the commander in chief on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They know their post of duty, and that is get behind that man of God. So here God had all these chariots and all these horses. And the king sends all these chariots and all these horses. And the servant says, oh, what? How shall we do? How shall we do? He said, man, there's more with us than all with them. Really? All he needed to do is just say, Lord, open up boy's eyes. Don't you know who I am? I am the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Heaven backs up my ministry, he said. Heaven is with us, boy. This is not my work. This is not your work. This is heaven's work. And heaven is here. Glory to God, Happy Valley. When are we ever going to recognize this church is not built by man? You're not built by man. This ministry is not made by man. The ministry of Brother Brenner was not made by man. It was sent from heaven. What if it was sent from heaven, then the armies of heaven backs it up. Oh, hallelujah. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The Lord is on a God before us. Who can be against us? So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Notice where they were. Round about Elisha. So the army of heaven is around God's leader on the earth. Listen to this. You're talking about a peculiar statement. Brother Manning trying to do God a service in Jeffersonville. As Elisha followed Elijah, let's follow him. Referring to Jesus, him. For we must be taken up too someday. We've seen the chariot fire that lifted him out of the grave. So you mean a chariot of fire lifted Jesus out of the grave. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Well, I thought he raised himself. He did. Same way you will. But you just need that nudge from the chariot. Swing low, sweet chariot. Oh, hallelujah. We've seen the chariot of fire that lifted him out of the grave. We feel it among us now. Someday, oh glory, someday he's going to unhook the horses from the bushes and we're going up. Glory to God. It ain't just for Elijah. It wasn't just for Jesus. But you and I have got some horses over that hook to the bushes. And when I need them, they'll be here. But it's my identity. God sent chariots and horses to Elisha. Because that's who Elisha was. God sent a chariot and horses to Elijah because that's who Elijah was. Because the rapture was an unfolding of heaven to the earth. It was taking what was previously heavenly from the earthly to change it back into a heavenly image. It just needed a little angelic boost. As Brother Bram said, your theophany is here this morning. Your glorified body, he called it then, asked the question, your glorified body is here trying to send a charge to you like a battery.
You ever get kind of low as Christians and you kind of get ready to get cranked? And then it just clicks. Oh my. If that glorified body can just move over near and hook up the jumper cables. Put the positive on the positive and the negative on the negative. Oh, I'm going to move. I'm going to move. What does he do? Oh my, he don't come to replace that now, but I just got a little bit weary and my battery's got run down and a little bit low, Brother Frank. I just need a charge to kind of surge through me. Oh glory! When I heard the very word of God was eagle food, I left the other thing. Then I heard from my what? My theophany! Hallelujah! Now let's look at the whirlwind. So in this rapture was a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And then a whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:11, let's read it again. It came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. In Job 38:1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said... Now, notice God takes on a veil, many different kinds of veils, but a whirlwind just happens to be one of his favorite. Also in Job 40, chapter 40, verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, notice how this repeats itself. So God reveals himself then in the form of the whirlwind. Now, Job didn't actually see the form of the amorphe of God, but he only heard, saw the wind, the prophet said, and he felt it. Notice here he says, Job, God was so real to him, he wanted to find out if he couldn't go knock on his door, have an interview with him. We find out that God did speak to him, but he was veiled. He was veiled in the form of a whirlwind. And he told Job to gird up his loins. He was going to speak to him like a man. And he came down in a whirlwind and spoke to Job. And he was made known to Job through the whirlwind. Yet, he did not exactly see him. He could just hear the wind blowing and turning around in the trees. Hear the wind blowing and turning around in the trees. You know, sort of like Acts 2. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty whirlwind, as we would say. A rushing mighty wind, and it began to move around and whirl the trees. The St. Peter tree and the St. Andrew tree and the St. James tree and the St. Mark tree and the St. Luke tree and the St. whoever tree. And it began to fill them trees with the sap of the Lord. Oh, glory. And the whirlwind comes in. Now, what is it doing? This is God's identity of moving in a supernatural way. This whirlwind. Oh, glory to God. And the voice came out of the whirlwind, but God was veiled in the whirlwind. Now, watch this in Isaiah 66:15. Behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots. Like a whirlwind. So God will come with his chariots. Like a whirlwind. To render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Of course, that ain't the way he appeared to Elijah. That's not the way you appear to us, with judgment and flames of fire. As you can see, this is a symbol of power. Here it is judgment, righteous judgment, but it is a display, a figurative sign of power. So when Elijah looks out there, what Enoch done, just had a walk with God, no cherubims that we know of, no seraphims yet, it wasn't supernatural something, but for whatever reason, God wanted to make a visible public appearance out of this rapture. Maybe Elijah needed just a little bit more rocket fuel than Enoch did. I'll tell you one thing, sometimes I feel like I'm going to need a whole lot to get out of here, don't you? Whew. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 1, I hope I'm not overwhelming you with all this. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4, and I looked and behold a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. Now notice it is a whirlwind, but it has the capability of producing an enfolding fire, and a brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. So here is a whirlwind now with a fire enfolding itself in the color of amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof there came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had their four faces. Everyone had their four wings. So here then we see that God again supernaturally reveals his powers in the form of a whirlwind. I wonder if that little sweep that we'll feel go over us. I wonder if it'll be just like a... You know it ain't going to be a broom. The angels ain't got a broom beating you over the head and sweeping you. Wonder if it won't be that unfolding fire. That little... Oh, glory. Now, I want you to notice Elijah. Now, we looked at the chariot, we looked at the whirlwind. Let's look at the condition just moments prior to a body change. Elijah was so about the Father's business. Now, totally different scenario than Enoch. Enoch just went out every afternoon with a walk with God. And this one particular afternoon, he was closer to God's house than he was his house. And he was gone. Amen. But Elijah was so different. You see, Satan has the ability of convincing many, if they're not meditating, praying, listening to tapes, reading their Bible, so on and so on, when the rapture takes place, they won't even go. Elijah was not reading or praying or meditating. He was walking along with the disciple and giving him further instruction. What's he doing? Carrying out his duty to the last moment. Sisters, don't think God looks down on you because, well, Brother Donnie, I don't study like you. You're not called to. Oh, Brother Donnie, what if I'm washing dishes one day? I can't think of a better thing for a housewife to do than be washing dishes. Making bed, making biscuits. My, you'd be right there at the point. You know, your very place of duty. You got flour all over your hands. And you got biscuit stuff over here. And you got this or you got that recipe there. Maybe you're doing it from your mind, from your memory. And you're just right there at your place of duty. And you're just making biscuits and getting ready to make supper. And God says, that's exactly the way I wanted to find you as my daughter. I wanted to find you out there. But many of you say, oh, I've got to be in there. I've got to listen to tape. I've got to be in there praying. Oh, God, please let me be praying whenever I'm in there. Brother Brennan wanted to be taken out of the pulpit. He wanted to die. He wanted to go after he preached the sermon and die of a heart attack in the pulpit. But instead he got hit by a drunk. Come on, church. You going to tell me that he was not ready to go because he didn't go out of the pulpit? Absolutely not. He was in the place of duty. He was coming right back to Jeffersonville to preach. Exactly right. Look at Elijah. He was not up there all alone in the mountain by himself, not doing this, but he's carrying on his pastoral duty right to just a few seconds prior to his rapture. Oh, God, let me be found at my post of duty. Can't you see why Brother M said, if you've got potatoes, plant them? Well, I'm quitting 45 minutes early. Jesus is coming at 5, so I'm going to rest back here. Take it easy. He'll consider you a slothful servant. What if I go into early retirement because I think the Lord could come? I'm 56. In all reality, I guess I should be able to take a retirement maybe. You know, generally what they do to old preachers is just turn them out to pastor. So should I go ahead and settle up for retirement now? Or should I think, you know what, the Lord could come at any time? Or you folks think I should just keep on going? Reckon? Well now, if you're going to ask me to do that, that means you're going to do the same, right? That means you're not going to get lazy and slothful, and you're not going to quit singing, you're not going to quit clapping your hand, you're not going to quit coming to church, you're not going to quit playing tape, you're going to, oh, hallelujah, you're going to keep right on coming. We may be walking right down the road. We just had a trustee meeting or a deacon meeting, or we're talking about feeding this or doing that, and all of a sudden, here comes the chariot. I can't think of a better thing to do. Go down there and anoint so and so, and you do this, and you did that when I'm gone, and you did this, I'm gone. I may be sitting at home with my laptop in my lap, which is where you'll find me many, many hours of the day. I may be sitting there just studying away for the weekend. Boy, God just says, study, son, study. You ain't even going to preach it, but go ahead and study. Study, go ahead. Y'all praying for the weekend meeting. Oh, God, help Brother Donnie. Oh, God, give us a great weekend. God said, I'm going to. It's going to be great. It's going to be out of this world. It's going to be great. And you say, man, I can't wait to get to church on Saturday night and Saturday morning. We go home. Oh, glory. Why? You're at the post of duty. You're not saying, well, it's a lot. If I knew the Lord would come today, boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'd do a bunch of wild, mean stuff before he come next week. You ain't even saved. You ain't even got the Holy Ghost. But if you're right, you're right there at that post of duty doing everything God wants you to do. Now watch, here they go. Elijah's whirlwind. 2 Kings 2:12. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But if you notice this, verse 11 does not mention horsemen. It mentions horses. And this chariot that came from heaven was not the chariot of Israel. It was the chariot of God. Chariot of fire and horses of fire. But Elisha says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen, which is the men who control the chariot. Verse 11 don't even tell us there's any men in that chariot. I mean, prior to him getting it. But now if Elisha said there was horsemen, then there must have been a horseman. It come down empty, but it didn't go away empty. Look, friend, what is the rapture? It's that heavenly part matching what you are on earth. So God sent a chariot for a chariot. Some of y'all looked at me goo-goo-eyed like weekend before last, and I said this. You're still looking at me goo-goo-eyed tonight? Now, notice in the way that Elisha relates this. Elisha had lost his guide. He had lost his mentor. He lost all this. Now, the value of this is so striking his heart. But notice how he identifies what Israel as a nation is losing. My father, the chariot of Israel. And the horsemen thereof. Elijah was to them by his counsel, by his prayer, by his position as a whole army. Elijah was this earthly chariot and the horsemen thereof. The Chaldee translates it this way, my master, who by thy intercession was of more use to Israel than horses and chariots. In losing thee, we lose our great protector. My father, the chariot of Israel. Addressing who? Elijah. So who is the rapture for? The rapture, of course. The rapture is for the raptured. And only the elect can be raptured here. Don't you understand? A part of us has already been raptured. It has already been caught up. So the rapture is for the rapture. Oh, glory to God. The rapture is not for the dead in sin. The rapture is not for the Laodicean. The rapture is not for the foolish virgin. The rapture is for the raptured. You who were sometimes dead in trespasses and sin, but now are you alive? You have been raised from the dead. So God sends a chariot for a chariot. He sends a rapture for the rapture. Now notice when Elisha is laying on his sick bed, 2 Kings 13:14. We read this last week before last, but let's read it again. Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, my father! The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He ain't going in a rapture. He's going by the way of the grave. They bury him. Throw a soldier in on his bones years later. And he gets up. But he ain't talking about the way he's going. This king, even though he was backslid, this king recognized the office of a prophet. Hold on to your seat. If I could say it to Brother Branham, oh my, the chariot of the message bride and the horsemen thereof. A man that not only talked about God, but he lived so close to God that some folks thought he was God. I don't never read where anybody ever thought Oral Roberts was, or Benny Hinn, or any of the rest of them guys. They can make fun of us and say what they want to, but how many of them have been accused of being Jesus? Come on, church. Oh, my. You imagine whenever Brother Branham was taken from the earth in 1965, and the message people that were here thought, oh, God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? But God had a program, and the word would still roll on. Hallelujah. The word would still roll on. Oh, Brother Donnie, where's the chariot now? He's still here. I said he's still here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know what's amazing is, you think of this great man, Elisha. Here he shows up in chapter 13, verse 14. We haven't heard from him since actually chapter 9, verse 1. 45 years has passed in silence. Nothing wrote of his life for 45 years. You didn't know that, huh? You thought every day with these great men, it's just one line, one chapter after another, after another, after another. They're just like me and you. They had great times in their life, and then they'd go with time. 45 years, can you imagine? He's now better than 90. Almost half of his life was spent in this. No doubt he was still doing things and doing this and that and the other, but he was not recorded in the annals of Scripture. Just a silent period in this man's life, and you wonder, oh God, why ain't I doing this? Why ain't I doing that? Maybe you're in that time of your life, but don't worry, he's still mindful of you. Hallelujah. This silence, but when it comes to death, God's not silent now. This king looks at Elisha as being superior to his own office. He comes and bows himself to this prophet of God and recognizes his authority and says, you, not me. You are the chariot of Israel, not me. That's a great thing to be able to see. Oh, glory. You see, this phrase, if you've studied history, you know that this phrase was actually used. Let me read this to you. It was a slogan that was actually used during the period of the Armenian Wars. Elisha was active in the military affairs of Israel and gained a reputation for mediating Yahweh's participation in Israel's wars. So when they would get in trouble, they would come to the prophets and the prophets would pray, and God would throw a few lightning bolts and a few hornets out of his armory, wherever he had. God would do a few supernatural things, take chariot wheels off and do this and that and the other. So they scared them prophets. Remember, they went out there and they laid siege and they said, how in the world? Who told them about it? They went out there and laid another siege when they did Israel there. And one of them raised them and said, you know what? There's a prophet of God over there that's telling them what you talk about in the secret chambers. He said, who's spying on me? He said, it's that chariot. Oh, glory. Who's telling them what we're doing? It was a prophet of God. Oh, can you imagine, friends? Hallelujah. Notice this. Brother Brim says in divine healing, Elisha and Elijah on the road to Jordan. And Elijah's going to be taken up in a whirlwind. And Elisha got a double portion of his spirit on the same road. Again, he says, when he was being taken up, after a while, a chariot of fire came down and picked up Elijah. And he stepped on it. And he went up. He pulled his robe off like this and threw it
back and dropped him on the ground. And the chariot of fire packed him away. He kept his eyes on that prophet, Elisha. After a while, that was going to get to the top of the hill. Down from heaven come a chariot of fire. Scattered them apart. Elijah jumped on the chariot, looked back to Elijah. Elijah looked back to Elijah. Jesus looked back to Miss Jesus. Pulled off his mantle and threw it back to him. Whew. Wedding supper. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. A cloud. A fire. But Brother Donnie, it sounds like that you're reading quotes that are saying opposites. No, actually I'm reading quotes that are saying the same thing. It's just the way you're hearing it. You see, I will change myself in the change, but yet I won't. I'm changing myself now as I go. Glory. I will raise myself from the dead if I've died, and yet I can't do that. But it depends on which part of me you're talking about. Watch this. I love this. Oh, my. Deceive church with the world. I asked Brother Louis to sing this song to bring me out on tonight. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Like old Elijah looking over Jordan, a band of bright angels coming after me that were coming to carry me home. Swing low, get down low. Sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come for to carry me home. Next paragraph, the Lord Jesus, the blessed driver of this chariot. The blessed driver of this chariot, the pilot of the old ship of Zion, the boat of life, moving through the building, speaking his presence is here. The very Holy Spirit that raised him from the grave is. Glory to God. Oh Lord, look at this, and I know, oh Lord, someday we're coming like Elijah down to the river. We'll look over there, harnessed to every bush. A chariot of fire that'll pack us away. Let us know that these ash heaps, remember he's preaching about Job in this, I know. These ash heaps are only veils to hide us from the great thing that lays ahead. Let me close. Countdown. Now you know what? Astronauts is really no new thing. What about Elijah? If he wasn't an astronaut, I never seen one. John Glenn thought he is something. John Glenn took off faster and traveled faster, and Elijah took off slower and went farther. John Glenn had thousands of horsepower, and Elijah had 2 horsepower. But it's supernatural horsepower. If he wasn't an astronaut, I never seen one. He went where John Glenn never did think about going. Well, you know, they had one took off in slow motion one time. His name was Enoch. He just walked on up, but he was an astronaut. Sure, he was pressurized. He didn't have to be, oh, glory to God. He didn't have to be changed or nothing. He was already pressurized when he started walking. He just walked right on out of the dimensions and everything and walked right into the presence of God. So no one, old fellow, was tired and couldn't walk. Now notice, here's old Elijah. He's real tired and can't walk. Oh my. He fussed with Jezebel, her short hair and paint. Until God sent down a chariot. I'll just let you ride right up through the clouds this afternoon, astronaut. Oh, glory. Notice this. We all know Enoch was translated. We know Elijah. You say, Brother Donnie, I'm still trying to figure this out about whirlwind and chariot. Listen. We know Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind. Is that right? In a chariot
of fire. By a whirlwind in a chariot of fire. I will be called out of this world by the power of God in my chariot of fire. Let's stand. You see, God chooses animals to represent powers. Question and answer 64. Brother Bam's relating the story of Eliezer and Rebekah. He says, as soon as it was made to her, quickly her mind was made up. On down into the quote, our brother, some. She mounted upon the camel and went to meet. Look, the very camel she watered was the camel that packed her to her bridegroom. And all of her success. Now, she watered this camel before she knew what all it was going to do for her. You see, it'd be easier for anybody to water it knowing it's going, I'm going to be a princess, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Oh my, drink. But she had no promise at all. This is something in her character. She's an answer to prayer. Glory. She's an answer to prayer. She doesn't even know that she'll get anything. That's not why she's doing it. She's doing it because she's an answer to prayer. She's elected. The angel of God, Brother Bram said, already met her and brought her down there. He was already there waiting on him. He said the angel was there at the well before Eliezer ever got there waiting. So here she sees this man journeying, and she goes over, and she's tired, and she's weary, and she's wore out. And the song leader says, all right, now let's everybody praise the Lord. All right, praising God. I'm so hot and mad. I'm so tired. I'm like, dang, 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 dang. You go ahead and nang, 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 all you want to, right there, the tribulation period, nang, 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 nang. Because there won't be no nang, 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 nang in the rapture. So she waters and waters, and that old camel just. Boy, she went back over there again. Man, he's thirsty. Do you know when the Holy Ghost comes to church? He's thirsty. He's so hungry to hear you tell him how much you love him. He's so hungry, Brother Gene, for us to wave our hands to him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The very camel, the very power. Beast in the Bible represents power. And the very power we give water and praise to. Water, life, praise to the Word. Friends, do you understand? This is not an emotion of getting with a preacher. When I urge you to get with a man of God as he's preaching, it's not like I'm a cheerleader. I'm trying to rouse your emotions. I know this has a value on what you get out of the service. This has a value on the way God looks at the way you're doing as you give praise back to God for the Word. This has something to do with your relationship with God. I'm not looking for moral support that I can keep preaching. I want to pull you in to watering the camel that's among us. Hallelujah. We give water and praise to. And he says, amen. See? Water, life, praise to the Word is the very thing that packs us into the glory land to meet the bridegroom. So here we get up on the back of that camel. Where y'all going, Evan? How many humps your camel got? We don't count humps. We've got a real revelation of the Godhead. We ain't worried about Trinitarian, oneness, two-ness. We watering this camel. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. Let's go. Come on, boy. It's going to be dry and it's going to be hot. Tell me more, Eliezer. Tell me more about him. Tell me more. What's he like? What kind of man is he? What kind of nature? But the problem is some of the message folks said they fell in love with Eliezer and wanted to marry him instead of marrying Isaac. Glory to God. Come on, children. Climb up on him. Climb up on him. Get up. Let's go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! I don't know how in the world the Lord is going to turn a camel into a spaceship and take me off the back of this thing and make me an astronaut. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Amen, amen. Oh, glory. Swing low. Sweet chariot. I may be so low and so weary, but that morning when it comes, my chariot may have to swing so low. Low down, as Brother Brim said. Low down. But all of a sudden, I will come down after me. And this power that I've watered and praised since I was a 12-year-old boy. Oh, glory to God. One day, it'll take me out of here. And this camel will kick in superpower. The afterburners will kick in and the jets will kick in. Oh. Hallelujah! And here we will go. By what? This same thing I've got within me tonight. My chariot. Hooked to the bushes. And the wind's in me. I've got all I need. I've got all I need. Swing low. Sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low. Sweet chariot.
Coming to carry me home. Over Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low. Sweet chariot, coming for to carry.
This chariot driver is, friends, it's Jesus himself. Hallelujah. You step up on there, glory to God, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen, plural, you and him. Glory to God, you and him. All ever saint of God, when they get ready to die, death may be a scary thing, but my, can you imagine when you see the chariot tied in the bushes and your heart rate's getting low and the blood pressure's getting down, but all of a sudden you hear them forces of fire nicker on the other side and you know it ain't going to be long, glory, that Jesus the charioteer is going to take you home. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. Blessed Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We give praise to your name. Let's worship him, can we? Let's water the camel tonight. Let's water the camel. Come on, raise your hands, Rebecca. Raise your hands there, Rebecca, in the presence of the King. Let's water this camel that's going to pack us out of here. The chariot of fire is going to match your pillar of fire you got in your soul. The watering that you're giving to the camel matches the power that the camel has. You and you. Glory. Part of the same economy. The same program. Chariot of Israel, horsemen thereof. Chariot of fire, horses of fire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rapture for the raptured. Election for the elect. Hallelujah! Fitting to have a wedding supper for a bride. You don't have one for a visitor. You don't have it for somebody else. You got it for a bride. Can't you see these events are ordered divinely by him? Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. We'll by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of my God are gathered.
tossed and driven on this restless sea of time. Summer skies and howling tempests, 6 feet of bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better.
Come on, Rebecca, sing it!
We'll
camel picks up and he gets a pretty good pace about him, and sometimes he slows down. Sometimes you have mountaintops and sometimes it takes you down through valleys, but remember, through every step of the way, you're heading home. Rebecca, you're heading home, you're heading home. I'm going home, I'm going soon. Hallelujah. I'm going home, I'm going soon, I'm going where I belong. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Always.